is The Different Football Show. VAR You Serious on FUBAR Radio with Cecil G. Thomas.
Hello, everybody! That's a good way to open up, nice and full of energy. That is me right now, Cecil G. I'm joined by Kim Kofar. I'm, of course, my co-host of VAR You Serious, brought to you by FUBAR Radio. Now, you already know what time it is. It's a different sort of football show, something unique. We talk about football. Yes, we do. But we talk about many other things as well. And in today's show, we have a return of an old favourite of mine, Fantasy 11, which we'll get into a little bit later in the show. Stay tuned for that. And of course, we're going to talk all things World Cup, because we are in World Cup season, as I've been saying it. And instead of being away from the studio and on, whether it was Zoom or online, on cameras, we're live in the studio. It does feel good to be back. I can't lie. I actually came here early today, which is
mind-blowing.
I was waiting for someone to jump in there. But I don't know about my... I mean, it's two minutes late, 3 minutes late. Is that late?
Late is late.
Yeah, well, in my world, it's not too bad. But anyway, Kim, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Welcome to us both being back in the studio. How are you feeling? How's everything?
Oh, I'm good. Yeah? Really good. I'm sad that I didn't stay for the World Cup. I think that's probably the worst, both financial and work decision I've ever made, was not staying until the end. Because I got offered, before I signed my contract, you can stay out until the end of the World Cup, or you can come back after the group stages. And I've said to you before, I don't love being on my own.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't know what America was going to be like. I didn't know I'd love it as much as I did. So I thought I'll play the safe option, come back after 3 weeks rather than stay 6 weeks. And just make it easier. And honestly, as soon as I got there, I realised it was the worst decision I've ever made.
It's annoying, because it's funny. Like I keep saying, I was back home when you was out there and you was in New York. And I was like, when I was home, I had that feeling like, oh, I wish I was still there. Even though I did the same as you, I made a conscious decision to come home, because I was just missing big events, family events that I felt like I should have been part of. And I felt like I made, you know, a substantial amount, enough for me to be kind of happy. But then I now look at it and think, well, we probably could have made a lot more, and we could have done a lot more for yourself professionally yeah. as well, as in for my
Could have made a lot more money and could have got a lot more followers.
More yeah. social engagement, more work. I could have got more work. Probably could have seen more things. Because I was supposed to go to the ITV studios to have a tour, but the day I went there, it got rained off, and I really was dying to see that. So, like, all these things I could have probably stayed and done, but I chose to come home. And then I thought it was the right decision, actually, at the time. I really did. And then you come back. And you're like, well, it's World Cup spirit, but there's not really any World Cup spirit, not here, unless it's the England game, like I've mentioned before. But, like, I don't know, you see so much, like I keep saying, negative stuff around the World Cup when you're here. But when you're over there, it's amazing.
Best 3 weeks of my life.
Yeah. So I want to go. I think we both made terrible, stinking decisions. And I'd normally think I'd make good decisions. I don't know if I ever have any regrets or look back and be like, ah. But that one was, I think I agree with you. I wish...
We'll make up for it next tournament.
We're going to have to.
Yeah, we'll take VAR on the road.
VAR, that would be amazing. We can actually do that. We should do that. And then, would it be the Euro? It would be the Euros next though. Where is that? Is that in the UK? No. I think it's in the UK. And then the World Cup's in Portugal and Spain and all
and
that.
And Morocco. Portugal, yeah. Spain and Morocco.
So
that Portugal, Spain and Morocco is going to be an absolute movie, by the way.
I need to be across all of that.
They are the three of the best countries that we've got. It'll be in summer.
Yeah.
The stadium's in Spain. Portugal is so beautiful,
yeah.
And Morocco is just vibes. Like, they bring vibes to every single tournament they go. That is going to be insane.
It's going to be amazing. So that's something that we must and will do. Like you said, we'll be all across all over that in 2 years and 4 years' time. I think that'll be the perfect... We'll do the perfect coverage of VAR, you serious? We'll be over there. All right. Enough of the niceties of how are you and how you feeling. We're back. And we are back, people. England.
Oh my God.
Do you know what?
I told you, didn't I?
Why are you not wearing any? I mean, we're both not wearing.
Yeah, we're both wearing our club stuff, but it's just comfy. It's warm outside. I just wanted to be comfortable when I was cycling over here. Cecil, I did tell you. Our first show that we did in the USA, I did say there's a good chance
it's coming up.
That it could come home.
Yeah, it could. Stop.
There's a good chance it could come home.
You're not doing the whole chest out. You are there. You did say early, though. I'll give it to you. You did say, and I didn't want to say it because I've said it for, well, all my lifetime. I think 30, 25 plus that years. but yeah, I just think, wow, like, we've doubled it. From the song was 30 years of her, it's now double that. It's 60 years of her. Listen, we haven't won it yet.
We haven't even played that well.
No, exactly. But then that's also...
That's what gives me the confidence.
But that's terrible. That's terrible.
Imagine if we actually play well against Argentina.
Well, that's how I kind of... and I might be skipping ahead a little bit because obviously we're probably going to talk about... Yeah, we're going to do... Obviously, we'll do an England and Argentina a little bit of a preview. But the fact that... We'll talk about it a little bit more. But the fact Thomas Tuchel said they didn't play well, I'm like, okay, so there's more to come. And then obviously Jude rebuttaling, which is also in one of my favourite things I saw this week. And him kind of saying, well, does he understand how hard it is in those conditions? To then think, well, Argentina game is in a closed stadium where it's 22 degrees. So that gives us a bit more edge. And if we can get the levels of football that we want from England that we haven't probably seen, then there is a big chance. But I just it's hard, man. It's hard to go to.
I don't even care. I don't even care at this point if we win it or not. I love international football. I actually enjoy the World Cup way more than I enjoy club football. Like, you asked me, like, last year, and it is still true. You said, would you rather City win the league or England win the World Cup? Mm-hmm. I would still always rather City win the league. Because I love City.
I think I've changed
more than I love England national team. However, the World Cup is just so, so special. There is nothing better than it. It's the absolute pinnacle of football.
Facts.
And I think with England, I don't know about you, but I always had a bit of a weird relationship with England. Like, we're both mixed race.
Yeah, you know,
we've both probably had like a bit of racism during school.
100%.
Both got told to go home or go back to where we're from. And England football team used to embody that.
Yeah.
But then Gareth Southgate's come in, he's united the whole country behind these players. All of these players, apart from maybe two or three in the squad, are immigrants, whether first, second or third generation. They all come from somewhere else. They all fight for the badge. Jed Spence, the first Muslim player to play for England. The last two games he's come on, he's been an absolute joke. It's ridiculous. Jude Bellingham, one of England's greatest ever players. His legacy has already surpassed Scholes, Gerrard, Lampard for England, 100%. And finally, like, we're all just like fighting for this badge. We're all there at 4 o'clock in the morning in the
pub.
That
was a mad
cheering
fight.
On Dan Burn's headers.
Yep.
Like, what is going on?
Yep.
This World Cup is so, so, so special. And I'm just so buzzing. And now, Cecil, we get to play against Argentina.
Oh, and
40 years after the Falkland War, 50 years after the Falkland War, Lionel Messi. Every song that they sing is a shit-out song
about
England.
Yep, correct.
They sing. Are you bouncing? If you're not bouncing, you're English.
And I got in a lot of.
They hate us.
I almost got attacked. My friend who speaks Spanish was like, jump, jump, jump. When I was over there, obviously, I was in Argentina when they won it, but they don't like us. Yeah, of course.
They hate us. We hate them.
It's perfect.
It's
setting up to be an incredible Wednesday night. It's going to be probably one of the. It's going to be one of the biggest moments that there's
also,
going to be.
Also, if you're a neutral. France against Spain is one semi-final that you definitely want to see.
100%.
And the other semi-final you want to see is either Brazil-Argentina or England-Argentina. This World Cup has delivered on and off the pitch. On the pitch more than any other World Cup I can remember.
Yeah.
These two semi-finals are the embodiment of what the World Cup should be of international football. And we get to watch them both. That's ridiculous.
Oh, you've got me buzzing.
I'm so excited for this week.
You spoke so much energy into me just there. Like, oh my days. Like, I didn't really even consider that. That if you're looking at the top showcasing of international football, you're going to get it in this week. You're actually going to get it. It's going to be amazing.
And sorry, just quickly. Just every single permutation. Mm-hmm. If Spain win and England win, you get a rerun of the Euros.
Yeah.
There's heat in that game because we lost. If France win and England win, you've got two neighbouring countries who hate each other
going at it.
If Argentina and France win,
it's the rematch of
the World Cup final. It's crazy. And if Argentina and Spain win, you've got beautiful football against shithouse football.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
And it's a both Spanish-speaking country.
It's perfect. This week couldn't be any better for a football fan.
Yeah, Lamine Messi.
Lamine against Messi.
Mad.
The heir to the throne against the man still sat upon it. It's ridiculous.
Oh, the storylines are crazy. Do you know what? Beautiful, so beautiful, such a beautiful thing. Football is such a beautiful thing. I just think it's funny because Arsenal obviously are champions of the Premier League season. I have to always remind you of that on the show. But the champions of the Premier League. And if you ask me now, would I rather England win the World Cup or Arsenal win the next season's Premier League? I'd actually say England. Which is crazy. It's not even crazy. I think people always go club over country, and I have always been that. But then I had that unique experience in 2022 where I watched Argentina win it, and I was in the capital, and I was just like, this is unbelievable. Like, this is a moment in history that will live with me forever. It actually went to the top of my list of best footballing moments I've ever experienced. And I just thought, if this was for England, I think I'd be very emotional. I think this will surpass anything. I think the joy, I'm a vibrant energy person. I think the joy literally just outweighs everything. I think what I saw in Argentina and what I can fathom what it'll be for England, as long as people aren't stupid. And I got a big up Flex on DR Sports because he was on a show last week. I don't know if he was on it as well. And he said, and he was like, I don't know if you guys, we don't know what it feels like. It's been 60 years. We weren't born when the last World Cup was won. And we don't know what it's like when the King or rest in peace to Queen. I was a big fan of the Queen, but the King doing a speech saying, you know, today is a bank holiday. Following that World Cup final, obviously Sunday this 19th, it could be a bank holiday for everyone on that Monday. What that looks like, everyone in the streets all over the country just embracing each other, no matter where you're from, no matter what religion you are, no matter what you look like, just coming together for the nation, which is, I think, is the real, I know they talk about United Nation, we spoke about before, but that is the real United Nation is through football.
100%. It's the only thing that unites us all.
Facts.
Especially at the moment, everything's been so divisive.
Yeah.
No one's been happy. The cost of living's up.
Yeah.
The political divide has never been more divisive.
Yeah.
With the right, the most right they've ever been.
Facts.
You know what I mean? And finally, we've got this amazing team that we can unite behind. All colours, all religions, all shapes, sizes, and we can finally get behind it. And I don't even know how we would react. What would we even do in this country if we win the World Cup? I will cry.
Yeah,
for
it'll be,
sure.
It'll be a madness. It'll be insane. Like, no, you'll get to Central London, there'll be no public transport. You go to wherever you go, like, the streets were just, like, I know, listen, big up the people that have their flags out there, but this is the time to really have it and embrace that and just come together. Because I think if we win it, it'll be unheard of, the celebrations. I think, yeah, I don't know. I hope, for what I see what it should be, I hope it is that. It really should be. Because again, sometimes people can go too far. People can overdrink. People can over-celebrate. But in a sense of it can go left. But I don't think it will ever do that. I think it'll be such a joyous moment. And one last thing is, like, I think even, listen, there's obviously a lot of women that follow football. I'm not going to take away from that. But even I see, like, people's families and like, girlfriends coming along to the pubs with the lads and that are, like, They're all in their England tops. And of course, some of them, they'll know some of the key names, but they may not be lovers of football as much as obviously a lot of us that have followed it our whole lives. But they really understand that this is a coming together of everything. Because I say this to say, like, tennis and stuff is on the Wimbledon and whatnot. Like, yeah, you might have a day out, you might go and have a drink or watch it, but you're not really emotionally, I don't think you're really emotionally invested in the way people are with football.
100%.
As in every gender, every race will come together and understand, okay, this is for this country. Football is massive, and I think everyone understands that. So if we win it, the coming together of everyone would be absolutely, it'd be phenomenal.
It just proves that football really is just the greatest thing on earth, which is what I've always thought. Like, the fact that so many different people from so many different backgrounds can get together, and it's an embodiment of what being English is.
Yeah.
This team, to me, is what being English is. Mm-hmm. It's about celebrating the uniting of different cultures, all working together. When I was out there in the US, I was like arm in arm with people who, if I'd walked down the streets in the 80s,
would probably be racially abusive.
They would have said something to me. Yeah. And now I'm arm in arm with them, and we're singing and we're dancing and we're cheering on Jude Bellingham, a black player. We're cheering on Harry Kane. We're cheering on Declan Rice, who used to play for Ireland.
Yeah, mad.
And they're all united behind our flag now. Mm. And we've got a moment, we've got 180 minutes where we can create history. We will never, ever forget this, by the way. If we win the World Cup this year, we will never, ever forget it for the rest of our lives. Well, we will never forget it. It'll be the biggest thing to ever happen to us.
We definitely will not be forgetting it. But what I will say as well is, your boy here, Cecil G, has done an Instagram reel that I've sent off to be edited. And it will be edited. And it will be out on my page very soon. And it details what you just said there. Something that we will never forget, but sorry to do this. Arsenal fans, stand up. To win the Premier League after 22 seasons and then win the World Cup, if it happens in the same year, I swear down. I completed life.
Still need that Champions
League. All right.
And I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you one thing, right, by the way. I will tell you this. If England do win the World Cup,
go on,
no one will give a shit about Arsenal winning the Premier League. Everyone will look back at 2026 and they'll go, oh, that was the year that England won the World Cup. Was there any football going on at that time? I don't remember, but I remember the summer.
Arsenal fans will be loud. What's even better?
Cecil, what's even better is I've come back and we've had a 3-week heat wave during watching England get on our way to the semi-final of the World Cup. It's scripted for us.
Even the like you mentioned before, I know that we just recently played Norway, but even that game that was at 2 a.m, like, I didn't believe I'd see as many people when I was driving back on the street. Like, people really are invested in this. And I know, like we said, we just did a whole eulogy and speech on how important football is in this country. But wow, that when I drove home and just seeing everyone out at like 5 a.m., the sun is literally just about rising and people are celebrating that win.
Honking
horn. I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is amazing. Like, this is actually amazing. So you're right, summer... The World Cup, we were there. We experienced some of it as well. We've been in the country. So that's another big thing as well. And then to potentially win it. Now, of course, we've got to talk about if we can go all the way. And we kind of have done. I think I did say, actually, one of the last VARs you serious. I did say, like, I'm all in. And I did that with Arsenal one stage. I am all in. But I just don't want to say that it's coming home line. We say it out because, I don't know. It's just,
can we be honest?
Go on.
The most, in a weird way, the most important game for whether we're going to win the World Cup or not is France versus Spain.
Yeah.
If Spain beat France,
then
we genuinely can win the World Cup. If France beat Spain, then I don't want to be negative, but
come on.
Let's be completely honest. We're probably not going to beat France. We're actually probably not going to beat France. And it doesn't matter. I'm happy to go to the final and I'm happy to lose to France.
So I'm actually happy.
Like, this World Cup has given me...
This
World Cup has given me the best summer of my life, right? So I'm fine if we get to the final. I might fly out to New York and we'll just see what happens and we'll lose to France and that will be fine. If Spain beat France on Tuesday night, Wednesday becomes so much bigger. Which is crazy because Spain beat us in the Euros, and this is no disrespect to Spain. And we'll come on to Argentina, which is obviously a massive, massive game. But Cecil, we're probably not going to beat France.
Yeah, but
we could beat Spain.
But if Spain beat France, then how are we beating Spain? On paper, I know what you're saying. It makes sense. But if Spain beat a team that we definitely can't beat, how are we beating a team that beat them?
It just could happen. It just could happen. I'm so annoyed. I wish Paraguay had gone through.
Yeah, logic is
I wish
bad.
It was Paraguay, Belgium.
Oh, that'd be amazing. We did actually mention that on another show. Obviously, other shows are available, but this is the main one you should be listening to. But I think you're... I don't know. France are an absolute juggernaut. And I know there'll be people...
They're ridiculous, aren't they?
Yeah, I know there'll be people listening saying, come on, guys, it's a one-off game. But come on, guys. We've watched France this whole tournament as well.
We've seen enough.
Yeah. I'm not trying to be like you said, I don't want to be too negative, and I'm not the one to ever be negative, but France are a different proposition. But
And the problem with France and the difference between France and your Spains and your Argentinas and even your Norways is like we went into that game against Norway and all we had to do really was silence Haaland and we knew we could come away with something. Now, Haaland was ill, unfortunately, so he didn't play at his best. But John Stones was absolutely fantastic on Haaland, did a job on him. Yeah. We know for a fact on Wednesday, let's be honest, this Argentina team haven't pulled up that many trees. Mm. We silence Lionel Messi, we have a much, much, much better chance of going through. That France team, you silence Mbappe, Doué. You silence Mbappe and Doué, Dembele.
Yeah.
You silence them three, Cherki will come off the bench. It's ridiculous. I'm forgetting someone.
I was thinking as well. I'm trying to think, who am I missing?
Mbappe, Doué, Dembele. Who's the...
Doué, Dembele.
Elise.
Oh my God, Elise.
Elise. You can't silence them all. They will score and they probably will win. And that's fine. So vamos España is all I'm saying.
I never applaud second place. I was at Champions League final. I said I'm proud of the boys, but I was hurt more than anything. But I truly will be, proud and will actually congratulate them. If they get to a final, they play France, and as long as they don't just get battered, and they show a good account, I'll be super proud of them.
I will accept losing to France. Yeah, of course. They're just too good.
They're a joke.
And they're way better than us. And that's fine.
They're stacked. And then on top of that, I know, listen, that some of these questions have been asked before, but let's just quick fire them out. Does Tuchel get a statue if he wins it at Wembley?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah?
Mate, Sir Thomas Tuchel.
You get him?
100%.
Wow.
Okay, lifetime fair. Contract.
Do you buy an England top with a second star straight away if we win it?
100%.
I haven't got any modern England tops. I haven't. I just wouldn't, I wouldn't buy. But
I'm gonna have to go if we win the World Cup. I'm gonna have to go on a serious apology tour, starting in Stourbridge with Jude Bellingham, because I have been critical of him in the past.
Yeah,
I think he's created some problems that he then goes on to solve. Like, he plays in the midfield, but he takes up a few too many spaces. He's a bit of a ball hog, or he was in the last World Cup. He was in the Euros, and it frustrated me. And I said, I don't think Jude Bellingham maybe is right for the team.
Yeah, he gets disrespected a lot.
He's silenced me. He's shut me up, and he's punched me in the face at the same time.
It's not in the schedule, but let's just quickly, or not even quickly, let's talk Jude. Yeah. Because, like you said, I'm a fan of him. And I've always been a fan of him, but you're right. I just think I never saw the superstar Jude that people spoke about. I don't know why. I pull off it from, maybe it's the media, maybe it's the, I don't know what it was.
I will explain it to you. We are individual humans, right? Yes. And we like to make up our own minds.
Yeah.
And we have had it thrust upon us and forced down our throats that Jude Bellingham is that guy.
Superstar, yeah.
So I instantly want to say, nah, maybe he's not. And then this World Cup, he's just turned up and he's like, Shut the fuck up. Yeah, yeah. Shush your mouth. I am that guy.
I'm the guy.
And now I've had to realise, oh, well done. No, they were actually right. Yeah, he is actually just unfortunately that guy.
I remember him starting his YouTube channel and he got so much traction. I was like, okay, this is interesting. But is he really that interesting? Is he that much of a brand? Then I looked at like the Jordan logo and it was like, yeah, there was word that he was going to have his own franchise with the arms out. And I was like, is Jude this much of a beast, of a gigantuan like brand to have this? And then I'm like, maybe obviously he's not playing in England. He played in Birmingham, but he never really came to the Premier League and whatnot. And I was just like, nah, he can't be that good. And then, like you said, and it's actually not even just this World Cup. He has actually, every time we've seen him in major tournaments, he's turned up. But I just, this one especially, unbelievable. He's the man. He's the absolute man. I apologise as well because
I apologise.
I need to give him more flowers. And lastly, I pride myself, which is why I'm so frustrated at myself, because his model of player are my favourite players of, apart from like Thierry Ronaldinho, the profile player he is my favourite. So, Yaya Toure, a Vieira. I grew up watching Ruben Loftus-Cheek, wanting to be him. I know he doesn't hit the heights of Jude, but that sort of profile, a box-to-box powerhouse, technically very good as well, and can run through players. That's my ideal player. Yeah. And he's that, but I just was like you just said, I think I just, don't shove it in my face. I don't want to listen. But now I'm like, okay, I give up.
I have it.
Yeah,
I have it.
I get it. You are the man.
I'll tell you one thing about Jude just before we quickly go to a break. Right, yeah. I used to play football in my living room with a tiny, soft little ball. Mm-hmm. And I used to pretend I was a footballer. And I'd be playing for England and we'd go 1-0 down and everyone would be stressed. And then I'd get the ball, I'd beat a couple of players and I'd score. And then I'd score the winner in extra time. I used to make believe I'd get a transfer to Real Madrid and then win La Liga Player of the Year. I used to make believe scoring bicycle kicks for England in the last second winning games. He does it. He has done our dreams to the nth degree. Yep. He's almost like he's an industry plant. It's like he's fake. It's like this is the WWE and someone said to Jude Bellingham, you're going to be the star. You have this celebration. Yeah. You go to Real Madrid. You be England's best player. It's ridiculous.
You get your shirt retired number at what, 80, 17?
For your boyhood club.
Piss off.
Just come on. Come off, dude. Please.
Fuck off.
He's living our actual dreams, but to the level above.
I love him, but how have you had that career? How can you say who else have that much arrogance and actually be the guy that comes back 4 years and still is like, yeah, I am still him. Don't forget about me.
Yeah.
It's bad, right. Big up, Jude. Hey, Jude. After this, we have to look at more World Cup talk, more England. I'm enjoying England talk, previewing some stuff. And obviously, we'll talk about some moments that happened so far in the World Cup. Let's go.
VAR, you serious? On FUBAR Radio.
Yes, people. We obviously discussed, can we go all the way? We spoke about, you know, France and Spain and, you know, we didn't look past Argentina.
We were reserved for this moment right here.
We had to do a nice show structure for you all to listen to and enjoy. We had to make sure we come back to what is really in front of us and understand how we can potentially win, what it's going to look like, and if it's possible, and what it could mean for our chances, or what our chances actually look like, sorry. So let's talk about what's in front of us. It is England versus Argentina. I can't believe I'm saying this. In the semi-final of the World Cup, yeah? It's being played in Atlanta Stadium, which I believe the Atlanta Stadium, I should be able to give you the original name because they keep changing all these names due to branding, which is quite annoying. It's the Mercedes-Benz Arena, which is the one that, it's beautiful how it opens and closes. It's the only one I haven't actually been, which is, no, that one, the Azteca and the one in Miami.
I really wanted to go to that one.
Yeah, the Mercedes-Benz State Arena is beautiful, but that's where it's being played. So, and I did mention earlier on, that they will be closing the roof. So that means the temperature, obviously they've got air-conned stadiums, if you don't know, they're all the stadiums are air-conned that have a roof or have a, that are shut. So they can set the temperatures. And I believe they said it's around 21, 22 degrees that it'll be set to. So the players won't be extremely, extremely hot, which I'm assuming it was like in Miami, but because it's open roof. But yeah, England versus Argentina. It's Messi versus Jude.
Falklands versus the Malvinas.
Yeah, there you go. It's all of that. It's white and so red versus history. Blue and white. It's mental. I can't lie. I don't really know where to start. Obviously, it's an 8 p.m. kickoff in the UK. If you should be listening from the UK, of course. So it's 8 p.m. kickoff on Wednesday, the 15th of July. We should have everyone. I don't know if anyone came off injured. We had no red cards in the last game. So everyone should be there. Now, there's a conversation to be had, like Nonny started. I saw This Is Football. This Is Football, I think. There's obviously other podcasts available, but they did a player ratings and there were saying some things about certain players that, they were talking about Manuel Weke not having too much of a great game. They were talking about all these little things and Saka coming on, but he actually done quite well. Declan Rice didn't really have a good game, which is quite surprising, but he's obviously has an injury. He's injured. He got him off at half time. A lot of brave moves made from Thomas Tuchel in that last game. How does this one play out? How do you beat an Argentine side? Because they do concede. They do concede and they can concede multiple goals. However, they don't seem to die. They're one of those teams.
But they're the Real Madrid of international football. We said it on DR Sports the other day. They just are. They don't need to play particularly well and they still win games.
But
Switzerland had more than enough chances to bury them. In fact, they were the better team. Until extra time, until they got that red card. I think you have to keep Messi quiet. You have to keep Messi quiet.
It's easier said than done, obviously.
And I think you score, which I think we will score. I'd be very surprised if they shut us out. They've conceded in, I think, every game apart from the first one.
They conceded in against Egypt, they conceded two. Against Switzerland, they conceded one.
Against Cape Verde,
they conceded two. Against Jordan, they conceded one. Austria, they didn't concede. They won 2-0. And Algeria was the first game they won 3-0. So two games out of the rest. That's the first two games they didn't concede, but they conceded in the rest. And you're okay. Yeah, I think when you've got players like Harry Kane, the Jude Bellinghams.
Harry Kane was terrible.
He was.
Let's be honest. In fact, let's be completely honest about that game. England were terrible. We were really poor.
So Thomas Tuchel was right.
We had very, very few chances.
You think Thomas Tuchel was right? 100%.
Yeah, 100%.
Wow.
I don't mind the fact that Jude clapped back. I don't think.
I love that.
I don't know if it's a great look with your manager and your players disagreeing, but I think it's fine. It shows the passion. It shows kind of what's going on in the changing rooms where Tuchel's demanding more from the players, but the players are proud of their performance, which I like. I do think it's fine. But I think we played really poorly. I think if Erling Haaland was on better form and if they were any slightly better attackingly, they probably would have won that game.
Was a shot a cross or a shot for you?
It was a cross, for sure. Okay. It was a cross, for sure, but a goalkeeper should be saving that.
I mean, that was but an angle.
It was amazing and you don't expect it. And I'm not going to blame Jordan Pickford. And I think we defended really, really well. I don't think they had many chances. But we had almost no chances in that game.
Agreed.
Their goalkeeper made a terrible mistake for Bellingham to score that second one. He could have saved the first one.
I mean,
that first one, really, that's just Jude.
That's an unbelievable goal.
It's
left foot.
Great goal, left foot.
His
first touch to take it away from two defenders. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that's just Jude. And Jude's dragged us out of a hole. Harry Kane cannot have a performance like that against Argentina.
No.
He needs to
be on form. He needs to be
a lot better.
Yeah.
Madueke, I like him.
Okay, good.
He just can't play. He's just not good enough.
But
and that's
but
fine.
Saka's not if Saka's not fully fit, he's still...
Saka's also not good enough. Let's just be completely honest about it. That right-hand side, both of the wingers are not good enough. And that's fine. But they need to just have an uncharacteristically good game. Saka has that in him, though. Saka has not had, let's be honest, has not had a good game, a very good game, in about 12 months.
Very good
for
game,
Arsenal,
yes.
For Arsenal, yeah. England, he hasn't been great.
But he's been good. Because he beat his man. He put a ball into the box, which should have been finished, in my opinion, against Norway. But he hasn't obviously been his brilliant best, but that's because he hasn't been his brilliant, like you said there, for the whole season.
He's been fine. Anthony Gordon's been brilliant the last few games. I thought he was really good again. I thought Elliot Anderson was really, really, really impressive.
Jed Spence was a joke.
Jed Spence was amazing when he come on. Stones and Gay, he really did shut up shop.
We did speak about that, and that has to be the partnership,
by the way.
Do you think?
Stones is so much better than Ezra Konsa. And when you play against a team who's quite defensive or who will defend against you, I mean, there's no way that Stones doesn't play, by the way. Especially against Lionel Messi, who John Stones has had very, very good games against in the past.
How do you know?
The stats may show that Messi has scored quite a few times against City when he's played for Barcelona and when he's played against PSG. But John Stones has always put in very, very good performances against
him. That's
interesting. And he really ought to play.
That's interesting.
But I'm just telling you now, because we said it the other day and we were actually proved wrong. I said if England play like they did against Congo, against Panama, against Ghana, they will lose. Hmm. Let's be honest, we played like we did against those games and we won.
Yeah.
And we got away with one.
You said that. I actually agree with you. We got away with one.
Argentina, we genuinely can't play like that against.
We need
a Mexico-like performance. We need a Croatia second-half performance.
It's a game of moments. I think both teams could stink out the joint and play terrible football, but... They've got Messi, though. That's it. That's what I'm saying. But we have. It's not Messi moment level, but it's moment. There's moments in that team that can get.
We've got Jude. We've got Harry.
Exactly. The only thing I'm so bewildered by is these Argentina players. Some of them are bang average for their clubs, but when it comes to Argentina, they're fake. Lisandro Martinez is a joke. Romero is something I've never... Well, actually, I see him score goals, of course, for Tottenham because he runs into the box, but he's a different animal. Yeah, Emi Martinez is a freak of nature for his nation. I think against... Fascinatingly, he can be good, but he is another level. And Romero's an interesting one because he obviously left Tottenham in the dire stages. By the way, he's the captain of Tottenham. In the season where they were supposed to get relegated, to go to Argentina to watch... I think he watched a tournament.
I don't think he went in the end.
To be fair. Well, he was going to go.
So that's it says enough. Yeah, for me.
And there was word that obviously he wasn't in certain training sessions as well because of that time he was considering going over to Argentina. So like, their passion is obviously there for their nation. That is the only thing where we spoke about this for Mexico. It's the uncontrollables. I actually had this conversation myself. The day after we went through, it's uncontrollable. So Mexico had the Azteca, they had the fans, they had all these things, all the things that you're not in control of. It's everything around what's actually going to happen on the pitch that was in the favour of Mexico. However, Mexico just weren't that good. Argentina, I feel like, and I don't know if it's disrespectful to England, I feel like they have that, like the footballing gods, the power, the Maradona energy, like all these things that the fan. But then do England. And the passion. I'm not saying England don't have that passion, but I don't know why it feels different. Maybe because it's in South America. But I don't know what it is. I think they probably express
their passion differently because they are South American and we're English and we're more reserved.
Yeah.
But I also do think that a lot of the England players, and I actually understand it, and I don't know what the landscape is like in Argentina, but I understand that if you're a footballer and you play for England, especially of this certain age, you have probably seen and you've grown up with the media destroying players who play for England.
Yeah.
You've probably seen the whole David Beckham getting destroyed for his red card. You've probably seen the same happen to Wayne Rooney. And there's probably a distrust that's been created from the media to the players. And I do think that probably breeds a little bit more nervousness. And I imagine with the South American teams, all they care about is the passion and the love for their country. That's all they care about. And it kind of comes across. Whereas I think in England, as well, because a lot of the players play for these big teams and have just come off these massive seasons and stuff like that, which I guess the France players have, but maybe the Argentinians less so. But I do feel like there's probably slightly less passion from the England players towards England and towards the national team than there is for Argentina. I also think, to be honest, they are quite lucky with decisions, Argentina.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm definitely not going to go down the conspiracy route. But I do think that if you are a referee, it's quite... Like, referees are human beings. Yeah. As much as we don't want to admit it, right? Referees are actually human beings. Yeah. And it must be quite hard as a human being to not be slightly emotionally persuaded to have a bit of leniency towards the greatest player to ever live.
100%. Right?
Like, I would. I love Messi so much. And if I see a decision that could go 50-50 and I see Messi, I might be giving it to Messi.
Yeah.
And I don't really think that any of the decisions that they've got this World Cup have been that egregious. The Egypt one, it just was a foul in the lead up to the goal. Salah dived in the lead up to the Argentina goal.
Now, that
the Switzerland
on the
one
ball,
was a dive.
The touch on the ball was a bit mad. That one that touched someone's hair. I don't know if that was an Argentina. I don't think it was an Argentina game, but that was. They said that on the pad it shows a sensor.
Oh yeah.
I think that one was silly. But anyway, but you're right. There hasn't been too many.
I mean, like, people are outraged by these decisions, but like, if Breland Bolo is going to dive, he's going to get a second yellow card, right? And he deserves to get a second yellow card.
And it was a clear dive. It was a dive.
It was a dive.
He's watching back and drops.
And if the Egypt winger is going to foul Lisandro Martinez, who's Argentina's centre-back, and then their player is going to run past the defence and score, it's going to be given as a foul because you've wiped out the centre-back with a foul.
Yeah.
Even if it was a minute beforehand, he's still on the floor at the other end of the pitch when he should be defending. So I don't think they've got any really, really egregious decisions, but I do think almost all of the 50-50s on Wednesday will be going Argentina's way.
It's all those things. It's all those things. It's the uncontrollables that I do fear for England. I think we just have to be...
We'll be outnumbered in the stadium, probably.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, Argentina have been based around Kansas, around Atlanta. Mm-hmm. England have been all over the place, so a lot of people probably won't have the money to afford going from New York to
they'll be there, but Argentina will show up. And then, like I said, like I was there in 2022, and their unemployment rate was like nearly 7%. Like their country was in... Football was their everything. Let's say football's not everything here, but it was... Everyone was on the streets anyway because they didn't have work and stuff. So it just made for a bigger... a more passionate, I think, celebration. So I just feel like all these things kind of coincide with those little 1%. However, England can knock that back. They can. Mm. They really can. So something to consider. Anyway, let's go into a break. And I do want to quickly see if there's anything that you've seen, just briefly, quick, over this World Cup that, you know, people might have missed.
VAR, are you serious? On FUBAR Radio.
Kim, I need to just... So, I've just wrote down a few things this morning, just kind of what I've just seen briefly.
Tell me, talk to me.
So, the White Chicks meme, Erling Haaland, looking to the side, obviously, with Terry Crews in the car. That is, I've seen it with Haaland and I've seen it with many people. Bukayo Saka, Vinny Jr., Jude. It was just so funny. So that's been going around a lot. That shoulder pain dance is becoming... that is top. By the way, people, you see that level of banter? That is what I think... And I know some people are like, it's not that funny, but for me, that is top tier in football culture. Just like Rice saying that Stones' shoulders hurt. Him trying to call the medic over. It's like, and then he starts fist pumping. Absolutely world class.
And do you know what I love about that as well? When you watch it back now, you know that Thomas Tuchel had already made the decision to play John Stones in the next game. You knew that because
he was panicking. His eyes were like, panicking. Oh no. And the last thing I saw is obviously the halftime show in the final was... Supposedly it's going to be 30 minutes long. I didn't know. I thought it was only one person performing.
No,
I think
it was
just Justin
Bieber, Madonna.
I think I need to see the rest of them. But
do you know what?
You don't mind it, do you? You're the problem.
Look,
you want the new school. That's okay. I like it. I'm an entertainment man as well.
I'm a football traditionalist, guy. And my favourite ground is Fratton Park because it's old and it's got that history. Let me just land.
A Gen Z-er.
Let me just land. In some ways, the Americans have almost ruined football this World Cup. They've got the hydration breaks. Trump's calling in favours.
Yeah.
They're having a 45-minute halftime show. But I just love it. I don't know why. It goes against everything I believe in, but I just love it. I think it's so camp and ridiculous and stupid. And I'm just like, do you know what? You've thrown such a good World Cup. Just fucking have your 45-minute, whatever.
Yeah, let's properly do it.
Get J-Lo on there, get Bad Bunny on, and we'll just have a little party.
Who cares? Yeah, I don't mind.
We'll be 1-0 down to France anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It'll just be delaying the inevitable.
Yeah, it shouldn't be too bad if you're in the game. Actually, I don't know. Sorry, we've got a good fantasy, go to Fantasy 11, but I don't know if I would want to enjoy watch, because it'll be such an amazing performance. But I'm also like, if my team's down, am I going to be caring about the performance. If I was in the stadium, not at home, I'm loving life.
Yeah.
Like, it is what it is. But from there, I'm like, for goodness sake. Anyway, that's the things I've seen. That's the things I thought I'd mention over this World Cup. Shall we head over to Fantasy 11 and just see what
fantasy.
You've got? Come on, then. It's a return of the Fantasy 11. Dun, dun, dun. Can't wait. Oh, my God. That's the weakest link. Little change of tune. Dun, dun, dun. Anyway. I don't know if I won't get copyrighted for that. It's my own voice. Right, so we're going to do Fantasy 11. 4-4-3. 4-3-3, not 4-4-3. 4-3-3, of course. You know how this goes. But the theme of today's one is English things. The England 11. And rightly so, because...
We're going to win the World Cup.
There you go. It's coming home. I didn't say that. I didn't mean it.
If you say it in an accent, it doesn't count.
Yeah, exactly.
It's coming home, mate.
Coming home, mate. Yeah, come on, lads. That's not. We don't know, but it might be. Who knows? Anyway, but it's England themed.
You know,
England-themed.
This time next week, the next time we do this show,
it's done.
We might have actually won the World Cup,
brother. We can't do this show. Can we?
I'm gonna be.
There's no way this show happens.
If this show is recording at 11 a.m. there is no way I'm going to be able to speak.
There's no...
Sunglasses on.
I'm letting people listen. We have a boss here, but I'll tell you, I don't know how we do this show if we win the World Cup.
We're just going to have to do it pissed.
Bro, there's no alternative. I might not have slept.
No,
we wouldn't have slept.
We'll have a physio Lucozade. We'll get our sunglasses on and we'll just talk and we'll see what happens. We might go viral.
I might bring some. I might have mates.
Should we just bring everyone? I might bring my dad.
We got to film a show. You got to come with us. Mad. Oh wow. I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
This time next week, we'll know who's on the World Cup.
Yeah. England. Right. Let's crack
on. Let's do this. Right. Goalkeeper gone.
Angel of the North. Massive wingspan. Just makes sense.
Shit.
Massive wingspan. You're not getting a goal past him. No chance.
And you thought that yourself?
Yeah.
Bastard.
What have you got?
My language. A British bulldog.
Yeah.
Chases the ball. Arr, arr. Tenacious. Could probably play it on field if I'm honest, but good with the ball at his paws. I hope you like that one. And yeah, I think that's fair.
I've won the goalkeeping war.
Sugar.
Sure.
I thought I'd win that one. Okay, go on. I'll go. Right back. The Mini Cooper. I know you might have that in your one, but the Mini Cooper, I like that one.
It's not a bad show.
Small, quick, endlessly reliable, bombing up and down the flanks.
Not bad.
Nice.
I've gone similar.
Damn.
The RAF. Whizzing past you.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got some.
Agile, nimble, speedy, can get forward, can defend.
Yeah.
Can defend and attack. Just makes sense.
Fair. I've got some of those in my 11 somewhere. Not actually the RAF, but yeah, you'll see. All right. We'll go. No.
My left back makes no sense.
Who is it?
Katie Price.
What are you talking about? To be fair, her new documentary's out at the moment. It's bloody brilliant. I miss so much.
I just wanted her in there. She's reliable, isn't she? She creates drama. She's always there. Like, when you come to England, you know that if you open up a magazine, Katie Price will be in there for doing something. She just gives that air of calm about it. Do you know what I mean? You think of Britain, you think of some of the other things. You think of England, you think of Big Ben, who's in my team, by the way.
She is chaotic.
Yeah, but that's what I mean.
She's like...
She's chaotic. She's chaotic, but she's reliably chaotic. She's what you want. It's what you want from your left
back. I've actually met her, and she's.
So have I.
Have you? I didn't even meet her. She was in an event I was at, and she was just so loud that I was like.
Bro, I don't even know if I can say this, but I filmed her on a spinning bike for work, and she just had maybe her 17th boob job, and she just showed me. She just took up at the top and just showed me what work had been done. It was crazy.
Really?
Yeah, that's a good claim to fame, actually.
That is amazing.
They are probably the most famous boobs in the country, right?
That is an amazing story.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to ask you how do they look?
I don't actually want to say on air, but obviously if you've had like...
Truth box.
If you've had 10 surgeries that...
If you've had more than two...
They're not...
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's just move on. Yeah. Use your left back.
How'd you go from Katie Price's boobs to your left back? From that, I've gone a red telephone box because it's connected. Can call up. You know, anyway, it's just a red telephone box.
It's
tall. We'll have it.
Centre back pair, and you ain't getting past it. It's Big Ben and Hadrian's Wall.
I'm half. And who?
Hadrian's Wall.
What the flip is that when it's at home?
Hadrian's Wall.
Don't know what that is.
Rev, you need to learn history.
Hadrian's Wall.
Big wall in Northumberland-ish, somewhere like that.
Hadrian.
Might not even be Northumberland.
Hadrian's Wall.
Right, is that, that's gone to Siri, by the way, for the people who are just listening.
73-mile Roman defensive fortation spanning northern England.
There we go.
From Wallsend on the River Tyne to Bowness on Salite. Don't know where that
73
is.
73-mile wall. Get past that, son. Right, and if you do get past it, Big Ben's going to head it away.
Well, I was going to do Ant and Dec because they're a partnership, but I didn't.
Tiny as well.
I went Big Ben for one of them.
Yeah, nice.
And I went Stonehenge.
Oh, yeah,
Immovable. It's been around for decades.
Makes sense.
So the wall, the henge, the Big Ben, we're kind of up in our okay.
I'll give you my midfield three as a three.
Go on.
Centre defensive mid, I got the full English.
Yeah,
bit
same,
of everything.
Same.
Good at everything.
Same.
Centre mid, the River Thames.
Nope.
Everything flows through it. Yeah, think about that.
Bastard.
Makes sense. A centre attacking mid, I got James Bond.
Fair.
Absolute bag of tricks, mate.
Fair. Fair.
What have you got? What have you got in your midfield
three? I've gone English breakfast for the holding. Holds nice in the engine in your belly and all that. Makes sense. I'll go to my box sports in a second, which might not make sense, but just don't kill me. Cam, William Shakespeare, creative, genius.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
yeah, creative. Links
up. You know what I mean?
Take
history.
That.
Box to box, and my captain. I said it earlier in the show. I'm a big fan of her. The Queen, rest in peace. Box to box.
Mm.
You can take that how you want to take
that.
There's
a joke there about being in a box, isn't
right,
there?
But right, out of respect.
Also,
I love the Queen.
Big respect to the Queen, but the unfortunate fact is that she is dead. So she wouldn't be performing particularly well on a football pitch.
I'll talk about her in her prime.
Oh, prime Queen.
Prime Queen.
Oh, prime Queen. But, talking like 70s Queen when she's going over to Africa.
Trying to keep the family together. She keeps the stuff together.
That makes sense. Prime Queen, yeah.
Prime Queen. Obviously not, even though there's a box-to-box element in there, we're not going to talk about that because out of respect.
I'll go front three.
Go on.
We're running out of time.
Go on.
Robin Hood, right wing. Just makes sense.
Is he English?
He's accurate. Yeah, he's from Nottingham. He's accurate. He gets the balls in the box.
Fair.
I mean, he's the type that would be able to put in a good free kick and a cross.
Flipping hell.
You know he would. Left wing, I've gone for sarcasm. Typical English sarcasm. It disarms your defences, doesn't it?
I like that.
You don't know where you're going with it.
You're really good at these.
And the striker.
It's pissing me off.
Technically, I'm taking the piss because I've technically got 13 players, but I've got the three lines up front. The three lions is a thing.
But
a comprising of three. You've got for full English. How many sausages you got in there? How many pieces of bacon?
I got one each.
You got one each? But, yeah, so that's
a lot
of things.
But it's full English package.
And mine is three lions as a package.
Three in a name.
No, three
lions. Gives it away that it's
three
not
lines.
One.
Go on.
I don't have a 17 English.
I've got three lions.
Right. I've gone Concord on the right. Cool. Understanding.
Yeah,
blistering. Yep.
Yeah,
cool. All good. The Spitfire on the left wing. Both English airplanes made. And up front, look at me being a bit of a hypocrite. The Premier League, the English Premier League.
Ridiculous.
I have football in itself.
No, you're banned. I win.
No way.
Yeah, I win.
Right, well.
I'm the producer. I decide I win. We've literally got 10 seconds left.
Go
What's
on.
Your prediction for the Argentina game?
Sugar, I haven't thought of this. Let's go a standard 2-1. It's not going to be 2-1. It's going to be more than that. It's going to be 3-2.
3-2?
No, penalties.
Penalties?
Penalties.
Who wins?
England.
I think England win on penalties as well.
Yep.
France, Spain?
France 2-1.
Final, England against France. I think France 2-1 as well. England against France in the final on Sunday. Be honest.
Be honest or no? Come, I'm doing it for England.
Okay.
England win. 5-0. I'm joking. It's not going to happen either. 3-1.
3-1?
Never going to happen.
No, France win 2-1, but it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Still almost came home and that's all that matters.
Listen, of course, my prediction in the final is not going to be that. Do you know what? 1-0 England. Love you all. Stay listening to VAR You Serious, brought to you by FUBAR Radio. Myself, Cecil G and Kim Kafari. I'll see you again soon. Take care.
VAR You Serious on FUBAR Radio.